Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. How are we doing, friends? How are you feeling? How are you doing? I know anxiety is high. We are waiting on a presidential election. Listen, just forget about that for an hour or so. Don't think about it. And just know that we are here for you. And we're going to talk about something different. Isn't that going to be refreshing? Yes. Let's just put that aside for a little bit and talk about something that is really encouraging. So one of the things I want to make sure I'm reminding you about is the documentary that American Family Association has put out called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman, and the Battle for Decency. That is available to some of you, to Great Commission partners already, but the general release date is coming soon. So you may just want to go over to AFA.net and check that out, the origin story of Don Wildman, a very powerful and convicting story of the life of a very faithful servant who started this ministry and really is the main reason that I'm here talking to you today. But our guests today are going to talk about the generation for tomorrow, where Don Wildman was looking ahead in the 70s to the generation to come. That is us. And we are now picking up that torch and thinking of the generations to come. And you all know just as well as I do that in today, this generation needs light. They need hope. They need to know that God has plans to prosper them and not to harm them, that He has plans for a hope and for a future and for their future. We see a lot of kids who really can't visualize their own future. And in the most dire terms, we see some kids who are more afraid of living than they are of dying, because we see a desperation, we see a loneliness, we see suicide as the second leading cause of death behind accidents for kids today. That is just so wholly unacceptable. And we need people who are willing to step in the gap, who are willing to build relationships with kids, and who are willing to invest in their lives. And if that is you, and you are doing that in any way, shape, or form, you're a teacher, you're a coach, you're a volunteer at a church, at a community group, whatever it is, listen, what you are doing is making a difference. And it may be like my favorite Christmas movie. Oh, yes, I just mentioned Christmas and we're still in October. I'm really not sorry. I'm not. But you may not know this side of heaven, the impact that you have, what those seeds that you are planting and watering and nurturing, what they may grow to become. You may not know that. But I promise you that those efforts are not in vain. And kids really need people who are willing to invest relationships. They need that more than they need money, more than they need resources. I mean, honestly, of course, every kid has basic needs that they need, that they have. But beyond that, what kids really need is someone willing to invest in that relationship. So we're going to talk about an organization that is doing just that. And it's called Youth for Christ. And we've got Jeff Neal, the executive director, and Megan Packard. She is the Rebalance Program Director and the Personnel Manager for Youth for Christ. And I'm going to let them tell you about themselves, but they're going to tell you about this Youth for Christ that has the mission of working together with the local church and other like-minded partners to raise up lifelong followers of Jesus who lead by their godliness and lifestyle, devotion to the Word of God and prayer, passion for sharing the love of Christ, and commitment to social involvement. So, Jeff, Megan, we are so glad to have you here. Thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
We're really excited to be with you.
Well, Jeff, why don't we start with you? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your call to ministry and how you ended up as the executive director for Youth for Christ in Northern Colorado?
Yeah, I actually started about 24 years ago, where I was going to school here in Greeley, Colorado, I actually wanted to go into computers. And partway through, I really felt like God called me into doing some work in mostly skateboarding and wakeboard ministry. I had done some college ministry in volleyball, and I worked with Athletes in Action on a team with them. And I just felt like God saying, hey, somebody really needs to do the same type of thing, but in skateboarding, snowboarding, wakeboarding, that type of space. And so I just started working at Youth for Christ while I was in college. And I was starting this indoor skate park ministry with this incredible friend of mine. And a couple of years into it, I realized I didn't really want to have my computer job, and I also wanted to marry that friend. And so that friend is now my wife, and we've been doing this stuff ever since for 24 years now.
Well, that is not what I expected you to say. I did not expect that to start with computers and go to skateboards and volleyball in an indoor skate park. But, you know, this is what I absolutely love about talking to people who are engaged in ministry across the country, because sometimes I think people have a very rigid view of what that looks like. You know, you're thinking, okay, I'll have to go to a church and lead a small group or something like that. But you're talking about an indoor skate park. Can we digress for just a second? And let me ask you, tell me about that. Because I feel like some of my listeners are saying, wait, indoor skate park? What?
Sure. You know, at the time, we were just looking for ways to take the passions that we had and use those in a way that actually really connected with kids. And so I liked to wakeboard and I liked to skate, and my wife liked to snowboard. And so we just really felt like God saying, we use, you know, sports ministries all the time. And back then there wasn't very many skate ministries around. There are quite a few now. But we really just felt like that was the space where God said, you know, go connect with kids in this space. The extreme sports aren't exactly reflective of Jesus' heart most of the time. And so we thought, well, we could be fairly counterculture there. Our saying actually for ourselves and our family was, we want to break down the barriers put up by the world's Jesus so that kids can experience the real Jesus. Because so many of our kids had this really misconstrued idea of who Jesus was based off of what they'd been told from the world of who Jesus is. And they were trying to decide whether they wanted to accept Jesus or reject Jesus on a false example of who Jesus was. So we said, hey, look, we're going to break those barriers down, and we're going to just tell you who Jesus actually is, what the Bible talks about. And we're going to show you who Jesus is based on the way that we are letting the fruit of the Spirit shine in us more than we tell you about how you need Jesus. And that just began to result in so many kids wanting to get to know what it was that we had within us. They wanted to know that light. So we got the chance to be able to share it then.
Well, I feel like my husband is really happy with me right now, because he thinks that there is no parenting problem that can't be solved without a sports analogy. And actually, fun backstory, he grew up playing hockey, but he did lose his teeth in an extreme croquet sport. 0 out of 5 stars. Do not recommend. But that was, you know, back before extreme sports were really a thing. But it just shows that adventure is there. I'm really glad to see there's a little more regulation. But that's just the nurse in me. Well, Megan, let's hear from you. Let's hear your story and how you got involved.
Well, obviously, croquet is a dangerous sport, because my 3-year-old, or when he was 3, broke his foot playing croquet on a croquet wicket. So,
oh my goodness,
advise everybody not to
stay away
from
croquet. I'm sorry, we just single-handedly ruined the Christmas industry for croquet sets. Do not buy those. Okay, good to know. Glad we're all on the same page.
I moved here to Greeley about 12 years ago, and I was a stay-at-home mom with my son. And then once he entered school, I was kind of looking for a place to land and something to do. And he was already actually involved with the skate park. And my family was friends with Jeff and his family. And at that moment, it was just like, hey, we have an opening. And the opening here at first was a program director for a program we called Turnaround Bikes. And that is where we would take donated bikes and we would help kids learn to fix them up. But then we would give them to adults and children in our community who didn't have a form of transportation. And so that was kind of my first job here, but it necessarily wasn't my calling. I don't ride bikes that much, nor do I know how to fix them. But it was working with people in need in our community. And so, as we like started to grow and change and everything, we, you know, it came upon Rebalance as a way to work with kids and help kids. And that is where I really found my calling and my passion to be able to help kids heal, and feel like they could be a part of, you know, belong somewhere. And so that we could move them forward into hearing, and believing in Jesus.
Well, this is the thing. I love hearing everyone's story, because no one's story says, oh, well, I just thought one day I would run a turnaround bike ministry. You know, I mean, it never starts like that. And actually, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Megan, is you are a trained trust-based relational intervention practitioner. We commonly refer to that as TBRI, which is a method that was developed by Dr. Karen Purvis. And there is a learning center at Texas Christian University where you can learn to do that. But we have so many guests who are TBRI trained, and I feel like there are some people who have heard that maybe on this program and thought, maybe that would be something for me. Well, here's your sign. It's coming back up again. Megan, can you tell us about your TBRI training and what that means and how you use that?
So TBRI is trust-based relational intervention. And I've had it for 4 years now that I'm a practitioner. And we train all of our staff on TBRI and other things that we've brought into Rebalance to make it that the program that it is. TBRI is a focus on three areas. Oftentimes when you're not using TBRI, your instinct is to correct a kid or tell them like, hey, do this differently. But TBRI really focuses on making that connection first so that you can have some trust and relationship and kind of build up that well so that when you do eventually correct, you have that relationship so that there can be communication there. And so always working on the connecting so that a child feels valued and cared for. The second step is looking at empowering the child. So looking at the child's physical and emotional needs so that they feel safe, not that they just know they're safe by you telling them, but that there's definitely a felt safety and a support system that they have. And then finally, there would be some correction because obviously kids can't just run free. But there's a very, it's called the ideal response, the exact way that you're supposed to correct so that you continue to build on that relationship through the connection and always going back to doing everything in playful engagement, which is how you connect with kids is by having that playful engagement.
Well, and look at that. I mean, that's exactly how God equipped you for this ministry. And that's definitely a skill set that is needed. Now, you know, I get asked all the time when I do media, I get asked about the youth mental health crisis that exists. And people will usually ask me, is it as bad as the news is saying it is, as the press releases are saying, as experts are saying? And I have to be honest, and I say, no, it's not as bad as people are saying it is. It's worse. And I think that we don't understand the trauma that a lot of kids have gone through. And of course, when you're talking specifically about TBRI, that's great, especially for kids who have been in foster care or systems involved, maybe juvenile justice, those kinds of things. But there are kids today who have been traumatized in other ways. We have rise in child abuse. We have rise in economic stressors that can cause abuse and neglect. We have COVID, which I think was a very big traumatic stressor for this generation. And they are so digitally connected to each other and to the world. But there is a relational void that is not being satisfied by those digital outlets. It is just not possible to replace the value of those in-person connections. And I know that's a lot of what you are doing at Youth for Christ. So when we come back, we're going to talk about what exactly is it and how does it work and what kind of experiences do the kids have who worked there. And I'll also tell you a fun fact about Billy Graham. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Megan Packard and Jeff Neal from Youth for Christ. We'll see you on the other side of this break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands, cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'ma be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast full of eyes, a low blow to purpose, and I'm a little kid at a 3-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Lose My Soul by Toby Mac. And I'm going to say something that maybe I wouldn't want people to say about me, but did you know that Toby Mac is 60 years old? How can he be 60 years old and somehow I feel like he never ages? I feel a lot older than Toby Mac, but he is 60 years old. They're still ministering to young people listening to his music and older people maybe listening to his music. But we are talking to two people who are ministering to kids today. We're talking to Jeff Neal, the executive director of Youth for Christ Northern Colorado, and we're talking to Megan Packard, personnel manager at Youth for Christ Northern Colorado, and they are sharing what they are doing to minister to youth. Now, Youth for Christ has been a leader in missional youth outreach since 1944 and is dedicated to uncovering God's story of hope in the next generation that desperately needs it. So for 80 years, Youth for Christ has engaged young people in authentic Christ-sharing relationships while walking alongside them through pivotal moments in their lives. This is exactly what kids need today. They need to know they are seen, they are heard, they are known, they are loved. And that's what Youth for Christ is working to do to reach young people everywhere, partnering with the local church, other like-minded partners to raise up lifelong followers of Jesus. So, Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit about Youth for Christ? But before you start that, I promise the listeners we tell them the fun fact about Billy Graham, and I'll let you share that.
Yeah, so Youth for Christ, actually, the very first paid employee was Billy Graham. That was our foundational piece of how Youth for Christ began in the U.S. And then from there, as everybody knows, Billy Graham was very influential in growing things, and Youth for Christ was one of the spaces where he put that growth into practice.
I think that's amazing because, you know, you look at 80 years ago and so many things seem so different. I mean, the world, I'm sure, looks very different than when Billy Graham was engaged in youth ministry, but the heart of the issues stay the same. So tell us about the organization and what you're doing to meet the needs of kids today.
So Youth for Christ is really one of the terms we say is we're anchored to the rock but geared to the times, which means we want to stay connected to Jesus, but we also recognize that kids are changing, society's changing, We always need to make sure that our approaches are changing. We know that there's nothing new under the sun. We've read that somewhere really important, but we also know that the approaches to what is happening societally, it's mm-hmm. important to pay attention to. And, you know, like you had said, the mental health crisis, it's not as bad as what the media is saying, but it's actually much worse. Mm-hmm. And so we've realized that if we've got serious issues, they require a serious solution. So that's why we stay anchored to the times, or anchored to the rock, but geared to the times.
Well, Megan, tell us about your perspective on Youth for Christ and about the Rebalance program.
So we've taken the Rebalance program. We just created it. Jeff and I did about 4-5 years ago. And we were seeing that kids just needed a place to heal and belong, that they weren't able to hear their math teacher or their mom, you know, asking them to stop playing video games without getting very angry. They weren't able to have relationships with other kids in their lives or relationships with, you know, adults in their lives. And we realized that, you know, we needed to go more in depth of why, you know, why was this happening and how could we give them tools that we probably all had when we were growing up, but they just aren't seeming to, you know, get right now. And so we created the Rebalance program that is a mental health program that we run with our school district and our Department of Human Services and our Division of Youth Services here in Northern Colorado, where we do physical activities while teaching them calm down techniques. And so we're kind of activating their brain a little bit, like they would be activated if they were angry or frustrated. We're activating it in a fun way to then teach them these calm down techniques so that they can use them out in the real world when that same activation happens in maybe a situation of anger. And then we also work on a kind of moral or value for the day. So let's say if the word is boundaries, we play games that are related to boundaries, but we also spend the second half of our Rebalance class having a discussion about what are boundaries and helping the kids set a realistic goal for them to be able to achieve within that week so that they feel like they've achieved, you know, something, that they're improving, that they understand better what boundaries are and how they can live that out outside of our facility.
Well, there's a lot of things that I really appreciate about this. And when we look at the statistics of teens experiencing levels of trauma and poor mental health, there are some statistics that I see that nearly half or more of the young people surveyed said they are moderately or extremely depressed. That is half of young people today. Anxious, a little more than half. Stressed, about almost just under 60%. And lonely, just under half. And I can attest to those statistics, both as a mom, as just a human being living in a community and interacting with other kids, and as a professor engaged in research in this subject, it is there. And one of the problems is that while we have rising awareness of mental health issues, we are talking about it with this generation in a way that we haven't done before. We don't have services. I mean, if I want to refer someone to a counselor, that is so difficult to do. I'm going to have to find someone that's a good fit, who shares their worldview, who isn't too far away, who's affordable, who's on their insurance. And then even if I can meet all of those things, there might be a 6-month waiting list. And one of the things I think that parents and grandparents should be empowered to know today is that for most cases of mild anxiety or depression, and especially those that are just in the normal human experience, medication is not the gold standard. They need exactly these kinds of therapies that you're providing. And I think to meet the need, we have to have some of these community partnerships to meet kids where they are. So I love what you said about, you know, just having the holistic mental health program where you're partnering with other entities in your community, which is so really important. So, Jeff, how do you see Youth for Christ specifically speaking into that mental health space? Because as we've said, Youth for Christ has been around for a long time. And I say this all the time. It's almost like we compared notes, that there's nothing new under the sun. So when parents feel overwhelmed thinking, I don't know what this is. Yes, you do. The emotions, the sin at the heart of all of it, those things aren't changed. Just the cultural expression of it may change, but the heart is still the same. So how is Youth for Christ, how do you see you guys making a difference in mental health outcomes?
So what our program Rebalance has been focusing on is, we call it from heart to harvest. What that is saying is we're really looking at the heart of the kid, and it's something that was really impressed upon us with the parable of the indiscriminate farmer, where as the seed is scattered amongst four different areas, only one of them takes root and is producing a fruit, a harvest. And as we look at that, we realized, well, the other three areas, you know, I literally cannot make a seed grow, and I cannot make the Holy Spirit grow into a kid's heart. I'm not the one that makes that happen. However, the soil of where that takes place, that's something I actually have some engaged and active things that I can do. And so what we're trying to do is prepare the soil. We want to remove those rocks, pull the weeds, break up the soil so it's all good soil. When that seed does get planted, it is able to take root and produce something more. But whenever we say from heart to harvest, we think caring for someone's heart is just as much ministry, excuse me, as the harvest is. We say we like to help kids heal and belong so they can hear and believe. And I come from a small farming community. We would always have harvest parties, but I never heard anybody having a fertilizer party. And yet every single farmer knows if you prepare the soil ahead of time, your harvest will be much better. And that's really what we've based our approach in this mental health program, is to say, let's go from heart to harvest. Let's help them heal and belong so that they can hear and believe.
So much great wisdom there. And I love all of the growing strategies, because I think I say often in this day and age, parents, we are really susceptible to the instant gratification culture. We just want things to be fixed right away. And even if we're volunteering with youth, we want to come in and offer a simple solution. But those things take time. And when you plant those seeds, yeah, it takes time and patience to grow. And consistency is that most important thing. And I know that Youth for Christ strategy to minister to teens who are facing difficult challenges is really a simple but life-changing principle. Just show up. Just show up. So, Megan, why is it impactful among young people to see people on a consistent, see those volunteers on a regular, consistent basis?
I mean, we really base it on relationship. And so having that, we call it relational equity balance account. So if you don't have a relationship with a kid, you can't, you know, have them do a task they don't want to do. You can't have them show up even if you don't create that relationship with them so that you can, you know, teach them the skills they might be missing or need to know. And so we really do focus on, hey, these are the two people that are going to hang out with this 10 kids, so that we can build a relationship. We're not changing them out. We're not trying to get you to have relationships with 25 adults, but a deeper, more full of communication relationship is what our goal is in Rebalance and at YFC.
Well, and Jeff, what I see is in today's society, children in general are really undervalued. We see so much negative talk about Gen Z, about Gen Alpha coming up. We hear they're snowflakes, they're lazy. I mean, just put in any negative adjective that you want to put in there. And I see a generation who is getting the message from news media, from older generations, this is a terrible time to be alive. I'm so glad I'm not growing up in your generation. Why is it important? And how is Youth for Christ reminding those kids and reminding other people to invest in those kids who often feel overlooked and undervalued?
You know, something for us is that we recognize, obviously, this is not a new term, but the children are our future. That is the direction that our community or our country is going to go. And I want to invest today in something that I know is going to have a payout later on in my life. Youth is a way to change an entire, for us, we're looking at communities. But if you change enough communities, you end up changing an entire state. If you change enough states, you change a country. And so if we really want what we've been calling it here in our local chapter is this idea of a modern revival. If we really want a modern revival, we're going to have to shout love so that we can whisper the gospel in such a way that these kids will begin to say, you know what, it's more interesting to us to make sure that we have value what is tangible than what is intangible. And here's some of the things that I love learning from some of these younger kids is they're very focused on what can I do about today to, I want contentment. I want joy. I want peace. In essence, they're saying, I want the fruit of the Spirit out of my life. And they are really starting to notice there are things that we as adults kind of put on them that pushes that out. And they're rejecting some of those things, saying, we're not willing to be tricked into pushing what the fruit of the Spirit we're pursuing. We don't want to let that push us be pushed out. We really still want to pursue those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Even if they don't know that's what they're pursuing, that is what they're pursuing through mental health. And that's something that they're not willing to be, they're not going to negotiate on that. And I love that about our youth. They're not going to be distracted by the American dream for what they actually believe is something that's more tangible to them.
Yeah, I do see that. I do see a group in this generation that is pushing against cultural norms and all of the pressures that they have been put on them, saying, hey, we want something more steady than that, you know, and we, and really even a desire to go back to what some may call traditional values, you know, thinking, okay, like the world is just spinning out of control. And so I think that's why we see this affinity for what they call vintage, which is things like record players and clothes from the 90s, which hurts my heart a little bit to say that they think that's vintage. But I think they're somehow subconsciously searching for a time that's more simple, when relationships seemed less complicated, when the world seemed less complicated. We see a push against, you know, the constant streaming, and we see a push against even social media with the rise of Be Real, which of course is a platform that has no filters, and it's just you take a picture of where you are in that moment. And so we kind of see a push against that, which is really interesting. But we had Brandon Kennard on the show on April 25th, so earlier in the spring of this year. He helps lead a Youth for Christ in Houston. And so if you want to go back for our listeners and listen to more about what Youth for Christ is, you can catch that show from April the 25th. But when we come back, Jeff and Megan, I want to talk more specifically about this Rebalance program. And Jeff, I'm reading your quote here that Rebalance is designed for young individuals who have encountered notable challenges in their life. We developed this program to simulate real life emotional reactions to higher stress activities. This provides a safe environment for young people to react, and coaches can then intervene and correct negative behavior. We'll talk about some of the pretty incredible outcomes in the hundreds of kids that you have served. So don't go away. You won't want to miss that. We need good news in the world today, and this is some good news to share from Jeff Neal and Megan Packard with Youth for Christ Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
There's a kind of love that there's a kind of love.
Welcome back, friends. That is God Only Knows by For King and Country. By the way, have you seen their movie? That might be a great movie to watch with your family over the holidays. It's called Unsung Hero. Great story about their family's journey from Australia to Nashville to become a Christian recording artist group today. And we have actually interviewed the director of that show on our show before. Fun fact, I went to high school with him. So just a plug to watch that over the holidays. It's streaming now. Great movie called Unsung Hero. But we are talking to two other heroes today. We're talking to Jeff Neal and Megan Packard. They are from Youth for Christ, Northern Colorado. And Youth for Christ is really an organization that is working to meet kids where they are, to foster relationships. And let me read you a quote from Jeff. He said, "We've always told students your value is based on who God created you to be, not what you can achieve. And this message attracted us to young people who struggled with their value and their identity. And it also brought some serious situations to us. And we finally got to a place where these situations required some specific training to address these issues." So, Jeff and Megan, welcome back. Thank you so much for all of your work. Now, before we go any further, I may have made a very serious error here, and I feel like we need to fix it before I go any further. Is it Colorado or Colorado? I just feel like I need to know that.
I call it Colorado because I love it. So it's
So
rad.
I did
but
do it wrong.
Too,
Megan, what do you say?
I say Colorado, but I'm not from here. And I've been living in Minnesota and Texas before I moved here. So I kind of have a dual accent. So
isn't I don't that
know if it
funny?
Counts as right or not.
Okay. So basically, I'm off the hook, though, because it sounds like both are acceptable. Yeah. Megan and I are both from Texas, Colorado. I was getting some messages saying it's Colorado. I can't say that and feel authentic. So we're just going to go with Colorado, but acknowledge that any pronunciation is okay. Now, that is completely unserious. But the things that are serious are what you're doing. Now, before the break, we were talking about mental health. And Jeff, I want to ask you, because you said something really interesting when we were chatting in the break about mental health being connected to the fruit of the Spirit. And you talked about it a little bit, but let's revisit that for just a second.
So for me, whenever I became a Christian, because I didn't really grow up as a Christian as a kid, so it was in my 20s when I became a Christian. And I realized when Jesus said, "I came to give them life and give it to the full," that legitimately meant my life was better when I lived as a Christian than before I did. And as I've kind of dissected that over my years, I've realized that there is something about Jesus that makes my life more enjoyable. I have a more a deeper appreciation for the world that I live in, for the relationships that I have, for the focus that I get to have on serving Christ, for the future that I know I have. And I believe it actually is really closely related to mental health. Now, if I was to try and break it down, I would say that for the most part, whenever the World Health Organization or the CDC defines mental health, what they're really defining is the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit just without Jesus. And I think that's often what the world does. They try to look for how do you get the things, the benefits that Christianity brings you, as long as you can avoid Jesus. They're trying to get the best that they can, not realizing that it's even better whenever you just live it within. And so we've really just broken down that the five pillars that the CDC would say make up mental health, they're really mapped very nicely to the nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. So you take the building blocks of the fruit of the Spirit, you put them together in a certain way, and you end up with the five pillars that are the definition of mental health. And so pursuing the fruit of the Spirit living within us is a mental health thing that Christians have been doing for centuries.
I love this because science supports Scripture, and I talk about this all the time because when we follow God's word, God gives us protections of our literal minds and hearts. It's not just about our emotional or our spiritual health. It's about our mental health and even down to our physical health. And one of the things that's so great about being a Christian and standing on the truth of God's word is that it is timeless. It does not change. In a world where pillars might change, strategic plans might change, approaches might change, the timeless truths of that do not change. And I think that is something that kids need to know today, that there is something they can hold on to, something that won't disappear, something that's not going to leave them, abandon them, fail them. And that is found in the Word of God. And you have had tremendous success with this program. Of course, we're talking about Youth for Christ and this special program, Rebalance, that's aimed for kids who have experienced trauma. And some of the, you know, the things that I'm looking at, that in 2023, just last year alone, you saw 489 students participate in the Rebalance program on school campuses, and over half of those students became involved in an off-campus program. I mean, this is a tremendous need, and I definitely see that. And so, Megan, I know that, you know, you've just been doing this in Northern Colorado, as we agreed, I would say. How are you going to scale this? Are you going to make this available in other parts of the country?
Well, we have just started the scalable process. We started in June with three other YFC chapters across the nation. And then just last week, we actually trained six more chapters of Youth for Christ, and then just kind of seeing, you know, watching them be able to accomplish it, run it, and, you know, work with kids across the country, that we continue to hope to reach other chapters of Youth for Christ or other people looking to run this sort of program, so that they can, you know, reach kids where they're at and help them to get to at least the heal and belong part, so that we can move them forward.
I love that. Heal and belong, so they can hear and believe, because identity is so much at the heart of the crisis that kids are experiencing today. And they're told even more than they have before that identity is so important. We even see it in social media with something called image crafting, where they're constantly being pressured to craft the kind of identity they have. And I feel like they're trying to just make it up as they go, and nothing seems good enough. But when you start to look at the pages of Scripture for identity and what God believes about you, that you are a magnificent creation, you're the apple of His eye, you belong, you are beautiful, you are chosen, you are loved, you are not abandoned. I mean, that is honestly more powerful than anything that we could craft on our own. And so, Jeff, I want to know, what is your prayer or your greatest hope for youth in all of this, in serving them in Youth for Christ and Rebalance? And what is your greatest hope for them?
You know, for us, what we really are prayerful about is that our kids who feel like they've been rejected by either peers, society, parents, we want them to be able to find that it is within Jesus where they can find some significant belonging. We want them to know that if you want to find a space where you are loved, where you're valued, where you're cared for, Jesus is the place to turn to for that. And I know that that's not exactly the message that most kids who are outside of Christianity, that's not their first idea. But we also know that if kids can, actually not just kids, humans, if we belong, mm-hmm. if we feel like we belong to a community, we're much more likely to believe in whatever it is that community believes in. So my greatest prayer is that we are able, through letting the fruit of the Spirit shine in us so powerfully, that kids feel like we were able to shout love, so that they're open to just asking the question that 1 Peter 3:15 always says of, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within. And if we've shouted love, that answer just needs to be a whisper, because we've drawn so close in relationship with those kids, they can hear us easily to just say, that healing and that belonging, that came from Jesus.
Relationship is the most powerful influence for kids today, because that's not what they're getting online. They're getting counterfeit relationships, and really all of those influences that are seeking what looks like a relationship is really just to exploit them, to abuse them in some way, to take advantage of them in some way, to influence their consumer habits, to get them to join a group so they have numbers. There's always an ulterior motive. And I think it's so refreshing when kids encounter someone who really has no ulterior motive except for just to extend God's love that they have received themselves and extend that to someone else. And Megan, I know as the director of this program, I know as someone who works with kids who are traumatized on a daily basis, it's really hard. You hear some really awful stories and you see kids that are in situations that break your heart and that you wish you could change. You wish you could just wave a magic wand and make all of their hurt go away, but that is not the case. I want to ask you, Megan, how do you find hope in the middle of all of that? When you see hurt and pain and anxiety and depression and all of these kinds of negative things, what lifts your eyes and lifts your spirit?
It really is the small things that the kids end up doing. Like, you hear all the pain and you know you can't take that away, and you see, you know, what they're having to live through or the choices they're making, but it's, you know, the stories of, hey, I yelled or called a bad name at my coach, and then 5 minutes later, I apologized. Hey, I was going to rebalance and realize that having dinner with people was important, and now my family has a once-a-week dinner, and I've never had dinner with my family before. It's the stories that they come back and tell us of, like, hey, we've learned to have these relationships, even if it's, you know, one small thing, like I reached my goal of telling my mom I had homework instead of just not talking to mom. We have to look at, you know, what is the distance that these kids are traveling, not the height that they're achieving. And so the simpleness of, like, hey, I reached my one goal today. If it was simple and basic, they still reached it. They achieved something. They're one step closer to being healed and then to be able to hear and believe. And so really finding those stories, finding those kids, and knowing also that some of these kids, we may not see the healing and belonging, and it might come later, but knowing that we've maybe played a part in getting them there.
Well, shout out for family dinner. I talk about that all the time. Having family dinner together regularly during the week significantly reduces the risk of anxiety, depression, risk-taking behaviors. I mean, so much importance in that. And I think sometimes when people are thinking about volunteering, they think, well, I don't have a counseling degree, or I don't have this resource, or I don't have that experience, or I can't do that. But we're talking about going back to what your earlier premise was and just show up. And sometimes it's as simple as just providing a family dinner, just inviting a kid who maybe doesn't have a family to come and have dinner with you regularly. Those small things move mountains. So Jeff, I would love to know, for our listeners who may be in the Northern Colorado area, who may be close to you, how would they learn more? And what would volunteering look like? What are your needs that need to be met?
So if they're in our area, they could definitely take a look at our website. One of the things that we are really looking for is, we, like I believe you mentioned it before, 54% of the kids who go through our program end up going through our rebounds program. They end up at some of our other follow-up services. And we're really looking to make sure that kids have more adults in their lives. So we would love more adults to show up in those spaces at our drop-in youth center, our indoor skate park. Not that they skate, not that they do our ninja course, just that, you know, honestly, kids would way rather you cheer for them skating than watch you skate. So
that's a relief.
Just say, yeah, they just want an adult in their lives. Mm-hmm. And we know that if between 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 adults in the life, each new addition makes a significant change in that kid's life. So if we can provide as many of those as possible, we will reduce the long-term negative effects that their mental health struggles are going to have for them.
You know, when we talk about adult volunteers, I always think about this one particular volunteer that volunteered in the children's ministry where I was. And she is an older lady. She is past retirement age, but she always came to preteen camp. And I remember the first time I walked up and saw her, and she had a helmet on, and she was going to get on this big giant swing that, honestly, I was a little too scared to go on at the camp. And, you know, it surprised me. And I think that's another thing. Sometimes, you know, when people show up, they just, it surprises kids. And that's a great tool to have. But she just listened to them. She was constantly telling kids how special they were, how much she appreciated being there with them. She just wanted to hear their hearts. And, you know, I'm sure you would agree, that is what I hear from kids the most, that they just wish there was someone in their life who really, really listened. And not so that the adult feels like they listened to them, but so that the child feels heard. Well, thank you so much to Jeff and Megan for sharing your work. If you want to know more about the Rebalance program, you can go to ColoradoRebalance.com, or you can go to NCYFC, that's Northern Colorado Youth for Christ.org, or just go to youthforchrist.net, YFC.net. Well, listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in these last few weeks up to the election. I am praying that for you. We'll be right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.